This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
We're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 12 and 13 if you want to start looking for that in your Bible. And I'm wanting to talk about God speaking to us. And so one of the ways you can communicate with us and what you think God is saying is through our email address that Anne mentioned at the beginning, hello@leedsvineyard.org. Especially if you're online and you want to participate, that's the way to do it. And we'll be monitoring that in here. And if we can, we can't always incorporate it, but we'll do our best. You see, God is speaking to us all the time. All the time. All the time. And a key to abundant life is to listen to God, because he speaks. The key is to receive what he says and receive God's promises, and then to trust and to obey and to walk into the promises with worship and with sacrifice. Many years ago, many decades ago, Alison and I were recently married, and we'd moved to from Leeds to live in Nottingham. We'd been there for a couple of years, but we'd met John and Ellie Mumford and knew that they were about to plant a new church, a vineyard, in southwest London. And we didn't know what to do. Before we were, you know, we were well settled in Nottingham. I had started a business there. I had family roots there. We were attending a local Anglican church, leading a really big and vibrant youth group. But we just knew that there was more to this. And as we came in contact with the vineyard, we were thirsty and hungry. And I was in a very poor place spiritually. And towards the end of that year, over Christmas, we were on holiday with family and friends. And at one point, we were praying together, and somebody shared a picture of me running towards the edge of a cliff. And as I ran off the edge, I turned into an eagle and flew away. And I believe that was God's call to us to jump geographically, to head to London. And I believe it was also God's promise to look after us and give us wings. My son, one of my sons, works for Red Bull now, so that must be true, mustn't it? There was lots more going on, of course, and we knew in other ways that the Lord had called us, but that prophetic declaration for me was what was needed to push me off the edge. So we said goodbye to Nottingham and to the young people there and to our friends, and we sold our house and our business, set up a new business in London, and we got pregnant too and had our first child. Technically, Alison had the child, but I take co-ownership. When God speaks to us, it doesn't often result in such a big life change, although it might, but it very often requires obedience and trust and a response of worship. I want to read about what's happening when Abraham, as he was then, listened to God speaking. So if you'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 12. There's some Bibles in the pews. We're going to read quite a bit of it, so you might want to find it, or on your device, or at home, on whatever means you have. So Abraham was originally from a place called Ur, which is somewhere near modern-day Baghdad. And earlier in his life, he had moved up north, up into what is now Kurdish lands, eastern Turkey, Armenia, that sort of area. And after hearing from God, he heads south, down through Syria, what is now Syria, through into what is now Palestine, modern-day Israel. Genesis 12, verse 1, he says this, "The Lord had said to Abraham, 'Go from your country
your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he set off. And he took his wife and Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they'd accumulated and all the people they'd acquired, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring," of which he had none, "I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. And from there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord, another one, and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued towards the Negev, which is a sort of desert-type area towards the south of Israel. And we have an interlude in the rest of chapter 12 where, during the famine, Abraham suspends his trust in God and becomes an economic refugee in Egypt, although he becomes a very rich one at that. And it's quite a saucy story, so read that on in your own time. And then he heads back north. He heads back north. Genesis 13, verse 1. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abraham had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev he went from place to place until he came to the place between Bethel and Ai where his tent had been earlier. Where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. So, what do we learn? When God speaks to you, there are three ways in which you should respond. The first is trust. Abraham receives God's promise against all the odds. He was pretty old by then. His wife was unable to have children. And yet he chooses to believe this crazy promise of children. And he sets off in faith. In the vineyard we have a little saying. Faith is spelt R-I-S-K. So when we're in any form of responding to God, in ministry or in life, in action or whatever, if it doesn't feel risky, it doesn't need faith. Faith, by its definition, requires you to take a risk. If you don't need to take a risk, why do you need to have faith? Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. And Abraham expresses his trust in God by setting off against the odds. The second response is that he obeys. He upsticks and goes. He doesn't know where. It says, a land I will show you. At least when Alice and I headed off down south, we knew where we were going. We knew what we were heading for. Well, I'm not sure we did know what we were heading for. We knew where we were going. We knew on the map where it was. I don't think we had any idea what was going to happen, really. We just knew that we had to go. I think God sort of, conned us into it? Sort of put this picture of what might happen in front of us, and it did happen, but much, much more and much different. Late Abraham doesn't get in the car. He walks. He walks literally into the promise that God has made. He walks on the ground of the promise that he has made. So he trusts, and then he obeys by walking into the promise. It's a very active response to what God says. And then the third thing he does is he worships. He leaves home and family to worship in the land of promise. Do you get that? He leaves home and family, the familiar, the safe, so that he can worship in the land of promise. He walks into the promise. He sets up the altars. Altars were set up after you'd heard from God and you sacrificed and you worshipped. And he calls on the name of the Lord. It's a way of remembering and chronicling an encounter with God. An encounter with God should always be followed by going to the place of worship. That should always be our response. So we trust God. We obey him, and then we, from time to time, we have to stop and worship and call on the name of the Lord and mark the place and the time and the event. And this account of Abraham, deep in the history of Israel, and thus deep in our own history, provides a great example of what it means to listen to God. Listen to him speaking as he reveals something. Something of his purposes for your life. Here in Genesis, it takes the form of receiving a promise, stepping out in faith, and physically walking into that promise, and stopping from time to time and establishing a place of worship where Abraham calls out to God and marks the moment. And it's so significant what he does there that years later he comes back to one of those moments. What does it say in verses 3 and 4? Of chapter 13, he went, this is after he'd sort of had this detour, he went from place to place until he came to the place where his tent had been earlier, where he had first built an altar. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. He doesn't have to build another altar now. He can live in the original promise and the original calling. He can remember and he can obey and he can worship and call on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord. Because when God speaks to you, you should anticipate that his promises and his call will be beyond your capacity and beyond your expectations. You need faith. And that's why we call on the name of the Lord. We're desperate. If you're not desperate, then maybe you need to listen a bit more. It's in times of desperation, it's help. So calling on the name of the Lord is not just saying, Jesus, help. Because the phrase calling on the name invokes the whole person, everything about them. So when I say, Elizabeth is coming to tea, it doesn't give you the full picture. What I should say is, the Queen of England is coming to tea. It's a whole different thing. And so what we're saying here, what you're saying is not just saying, Jesus, help me. You're saying, this is too big. This is too difficult. I don't know how to follow you. But you are great and you are good. You rule and reign over the whole universe. And I know you love me. Lord Jesus, I'm trusting you. Help. That's our response in the place of worship. So a key to Abraham's abundant life was to listen to God, to receive God's promise, to trust, to obey, and to walk into that promise with worship and sacrifice and calling out on his name. And I believe today that the Lord is speaking to many of you about promises he has made. He has made to you in times gone by. Some of you have been walking into those promises in obedience, and you've been doing it. And maybe for you it's time to build an altar. It's time to stop, to call in the name of the Lord, to worship in that place. Some of you have responded to God's call on your life, but you've been sidelined by something like a famine or a pandemic or something else. And it's time to head back north. Back to the altar you built some time ago. To remember God's call on your life. to make your sacrifice, to worship, to call on his name again. And I'm not just teaching stuff here. I'm saying what I think is happening this morning, that some of you are going to head back north. I don't mean geographically, necessarily. It's a figure of speech to illustrate God's call. It could be geographical. It could be a specific place. It could be a memory of a specific moment. For me, that point when that person gave me that word about running off the cliff, I can picture it now, and it's a place I used to have to go back to regularly and remember what God had promised and be obedient to it. It could be something you wrote down in your journal years ago, and you need to go back and read it and call out to God again over it. It could be a song of worship. That's one of my main altars, if you like. Alison and I have been around for a long time singing Vineyard songs, and every now and again I lead worship in a small group and I play one of the old ones, and everyone says, "That's a lovely new song." Actually, it's an ancient one, but I can hardly get through those old songs because they take me back to a place where God called us in a really meaningful way. I remember the place where I was when I was 8 or 9 and I first responded to the gospel and chose to give my life to Jesus. What are the places where God has spoken to you in the past and you need to go back there? Some of you desperately want to hear from God afresh. And you're saying, "David, I can't remember, it's foggy. I need a new call. You something." May you have ears to hear. But a bit of a warning. Hearing God's call involves trust and obedience and an act of worship. And some of you have never called out to God, but you know that now is the time. I'm sure that some of you who are watching online and you're asking those questions, and maybe somebody in the room as well, and you're not sure of who you are or what you are for. Some of the things people have said about you have put a doubt in your mind. You've begun to doubt your own identity. You're not sure what is true anymore. But deep down, you know that you need to be rescued and saved and given the promise, God's call on your life, salvation and rescue. I'd love for you to do that today. So we are going to give space for that in a moment, but I just want to, before we do that, I want to talk a bit about how God speaks. Whilst you're thinking about that promise that God has made to you in the past, those times, or maybe you're saying, "God, speak to me for the first time," or "refresh your call on my life," and you're coming to terms with the fact that that will require a response from you. Let me just talk a little bit on a sidetrack, just as how do we hear from God? There are many ways in which God's Holy Spirit reveals himself to us today. Yes, today. He speaks today. Christians believe that God is speaking to us through the Holy Spirit all the time, all the time, all the time. He didn't stop speaking centuries ago, although sometimes we stop listening. It's a bit like the radio. The BBC are always broadcasting. I don't always turn my radio on. And Jesus promised us that the Spirit would come and would remind us of what he had said. The Spirit would come and grow the character fruit in our lives. The Spirit would come and give giftings of revelation. One of the ways God speaks is through his Holy Spirit. And the Bible describes how the Holy Spirit will distribute what the word is gifts. It's sort of like little gifts. Often they're in the form of messages or information about situations and people. We haven't got time to go there now, but if you haven't done that recently, I'd recommend you go back to 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 and Romans 12 and just reread what Paul writes about how God speaks to us. They're not exhausted descriptions. God can speak to you in many other ways as well. He can speak to you directly, just as he did with Abraham, and in other ways. But very often we experience God speaking to us through one another, which is why I said at the beginning, for those of you who are watching online, hello at Leeds Vineyard is our chance to hear what God might be saying to you. You may have noticed that we often share what we call words and words of knowledge. And I'm sorry, that's just code and jargon. And if you feel excluded by that, accept my apologies. We must try and explain what we're doing more. But when we're praying for one another, we sometimes get these pieces of information, these messages, and we share them. And we call them words of knowledge or words of wisdom and various other things. It's just shorthand. And we do it here at the Sunday gathering. We do it in our small groups. We do it when we're praying for people on the streets. It's a very powerful thing when you go up to somebody who you don't know on the street and you say, I think God is saying this to you, and he is, and their life gets changed. If you want to learn how to do that, join the Healing on the Streets team with Jerry and Pauline or the Hearing from Heaven team as they go about doing that. Yeah, if we use strange language, forgive us, and just nudge somebody who's been here a bit longer and say, what does he mean? What's that code for? Our prayers and our speaking over one another, though, it's simply being used, it's being open to being used by God when he wants to speak to somebody. He seems to choose to do this often, which is to bring revelation of what God is saying to me for you, or to you for me. I think there's all sorts of reasons why that is an amazing thing, which we haven't got time to go into now. But I think it's often just to encourage us or to remind us. Sometimes it's really mysterious to us, but it makes sense to the person listening. Sometimes it's very important to the person receiving it, although it seems mundane to me as I share it. Sometimes it becomes a life-changing promise and a call in someone's life. Like me running off a cliff, turning into an eagle, probably didn't mean anything to the person saying it, but for me that was meant a huge amount. Like it was for Abraham. Sometimes it's words that we hear and then we share them, or words that we see written down and we speak them out. Sometimes it's a picture or a vision. It's not often very, very strong. It's sometimes just fleeting, and we have to sort of grab it. Sometimes it's a dream or a specific scripture. All sorts of ways. They're not always right. As we often put caveats before we do this and say, this is what I think the Lord is saying, but I could well be wrong. It could have been the cheese I had last night. But that's okay. We don't always know what to make of it. That's okay too. Somebody recently sent us, Alison and me, a recording of some, another way of describing is this is prophecy, prophetic words. Again, that's code, forgive me, but you get the drift. And they sent us a recording of it, and one of the words that they had for me was seeing me doing Morris dancing. Yeah. And that sort of probably puts a picture in your mind you don't want to hold on to. And I don't quite know what it means. But what got me was that while they were sharing it, they were all laughing in the background at me, or that picture of me. That's a bit mysterious. I don't think I'm going to be doing that up front here. I don't think. I quite like dancing. No, never mind. We won't go. I bet some of you younger ones have no idea what I'm talking about. I just realized Morris dancing is an old thing, isn't it? Who knows what I mean by Morris dancing? Oh, most of you do. Okay, all right. I've humiliated myself enough. That's fine. So, better than that, those of you who've been around will have. Sometimes Alison has shared words of knowledge, and I think Alison is very special. But she's not special in this way. She just happens to, especially in COVID-related times, she happens to get hold of the mic more often. And the main thing about this is that Alison takes the risk. I think the Lord gives many of you similarly sharp words and of knowledge and information, but you don't dare share it. She does. It's not always right, but sometimes it is. I just want to remember a couple. Mike, do you want to start getting yourself ready? From time gone by, do you remember Alison once came up and she said I got a picture of a £5 note in a hedge. Does that mean anything to anybody? And Azad stood up at the back and he said, I found a £5 note in the hedge outside there, just as he walked in. Now, what's that about? If nothing else, it's Azad knowing God's got his number. God's speaking to him. There may be other things in that as well. Or the time when she had the name, Mary Johnson. So I was thinking, I don't know any Mary Johnsons. Is there Mary Johnson? It turned out there was a Mary sitting there who was married to somebody called Johnson sitting there. And so for them, can you imagine what that was like for them? I think that was their first time here. And we didn't know who they were. But they all of a sudden knew God was on their case. Or just a couple of weeks ago, she had a picture of the gate with the number 69 on it. It didn't mean anything to most of us, but for one person, that was very significant. And it pushed them into doing something they hadn't been doing, which they needed to do. Very, very important. And then I think 2 weeks ago, she had the date 16th of April. I think that's the way it was. And again, didn't mean much to most of us, but somebody had been watching online and emailed in to say they had three close relatives on that with a birthday on the 16th of April, and it was a reminder to pray for them. You see what I mean? So some of these things will be very specific to certain people, and some of them will be most unusual, particularly if you've got pictures of me, Morris, dancing. But like I say, although Alison is special, particularly to me, she's not in this except for the fact that she takes the risk. And if you'll ask the Lord to give you stuff, he will. Will you take the risk? Why is it important? There's a number of reasons why. But one is that when somebody has a word of knowledge for someone else, it often lands in a creative and unexpected way. And I think that's as if God wants to say, I can see you. I know your name. I've got your number. I'm the God of the universe, and I know you. And I've got something for you. Do you want to receive it? And that's where response is required from us. At that point comes the crucial moment. How are you going to respond? Are you going to listen to what God is going to do and say when he reaches out to you like that? Let me wrap up. A key to abundant life is to listen to the God who speaks to us all the time. All the time. All the time. He's speaking. A key to abundant life is to receive God's promises, to trust, to obey, to walk into the promise with worship and sacrifice. Would you like to hear from God now? You're so English. I've just made a really good offer there. Would you like to hear from God now? Yeah. You can nod. Oh, everybody online is going, yeah. So what we're going to do, I'm cold. Are you cold? I'm cold. Again, why don't we stand, if you're able. Put your coat on if you need to. So we're gonna just have another worship song in a moment, but I want you to listen out for either a promise already spoken to you or a fresh one coming today, a call on your life. But I want you to listen out with the preparation that you'd be willing to trust and obey and enter into that promise with an act of worship. That's the deal. The Lord will call you and speak to you, and I'd encourage you just to be open and to say, yes, Lord, like Abraham did, without really having reason to do so. Let's listen to how the Lord is calling us. Let's trust and obey and worship. And in a moment, we'll sing this song. Let's just wait in quiet. Lord, I ask you to come. I ask you to speak. I believe that you speak today, and I believe that if we open our ears to listen, we'll hear you. So I ask you to speak. And it may not be sounds, it may be pictures, it may be words, it may be just understanding things, it may be scripture. Lord, I ask you to speak. Would you call the people of the vineyard, the people online, the people here? Would you remind them of what you called them to in the past? Would you make a fresh call? I just want to pray for those of you who have never opened your heart to receiving God's call. And you know that you need that. So if that's you, would you pray with me? And we'll just a short prayer of saying, I'm sorry for where I've got myself to, and Lord, would you come and speak to me and rescue me? If you want to do that, pray with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you unsure of myself. I come to you broken. I come to you with so much rubbish between me and you. I come to you with sin in my life. I know I need you. Thank you for your mercy and your forgiveness. And I say I'm sorry, I repent, and I ask you to forgive me. I receive your forgiveness. And I commit myself to following you as best as I can for the rest of my life. Lord, would you come and call me and speak your promise to me? Amen. And as we hear your voice, Lord, we want to say yes. We want to say yes.